This thing that Orlo had wanted so badly to take pictures of, would it be something that we would recognize as a ship? Until Saman had showed me this tablet a few hours ago, all I had known was that it used bursts of plasma to change its velocity, and that it could shine red lasers on things. For all I'd known, it could have been a hollowed-out asteroid. It could have been an alien life form adapted to live in the vacuum of space that shot bombs out of a sphincter. It could have been constructed out of things that we would not even recognize as matter. It could have been only half in this universe and half in some other. So I made an effort to open my mind. I had been prepared to be confronted by some sort of image that I would not be able to understand at first. And it had indeed been a riddle, but not the kind of riddle I'd been expecting. I hadn't had time to study it, to puzzle over it at the time. Now I had a good long look. The image was streaked in the direction of the ship's motion. Fra Orlo had probably set up the telescope to track it across the sky, but he'd had to make his best guess as to its direction and speed, and he hadn't gotten it exactly right, hence the motion blur. I guessed that this was only the last in a series of such images that Orlo had been making during the weeks leading up to Appert, each slightly better than the last as he learned how to track the target and how to calibrate the exposure. Saman had already applied some kind of syntactic process to the image to reduce the blur and bring out many details that would have been lost otherwise. It was an icosahedron. 20 faces, each of them an equilateral triangle. That much I'd seen when Saman had first shown it to me. And therein lay the puzzle, because such a shape could be either natural or artificial. Geometers loved icosahedrons, but so did nature. Viruses, spores, and pollens had all been known to take this shape. So perhaps it was a space-adapted life form, or a giant crystal that had grown in a gas cloud. "This thing can't be pressurized," I pointed out. "Because the surfaces are all flat?" Cord said, more a statement than question. She dealt with compressed gases in our work and knew in her bones that any vessel containing pressure must be rounded, a cylinder, a sphere, or a torus.
"Keep looking,"
Saman advised us. "The corners," Cord said. The vertices," I said. Those 20 triangular facets came together at 12 vertices. Each vertex joined 5 triangles. These seemed to bulge outward a little. At first, I'd mistaken this for blur, but on a closer look, I convinced myself that each vertex was a little sphere. And this drew my eye to the edges. The 12 vertices were joined by a network of 30 straight edges. And those, too, had a rounded, bulging look to them. "There they are," said Cord. I knew exactly what she meant. "The shock absorbers," I said. For it was obvious now. Each of the 30 edges was a long, slender shock absorber, just like the ones on the suspension of Cord's fetch, except bigger. The frame of this ship was just a network of 30 shock absorbers that came together at a dozen spherical vertices. The entire thing was one big distributed shock absorption system. "There must be ball and socket joints in the corners to make that work," Cord said. "Yeah, otherwise the frame couldn't flex," I said. "But there's a big part of this I'm not getting." "What are the flats made of? The triangles?" Cord said. "Yeah, no point making a triangle out of things that can give unless the stuff in the middle can give too, change its shape a little when the shocks flex." So we spent a while puzzling over the 20 flat triangular surfaces that accounted for the ship's surface area. These, I thought, looked a little funny. They looked rugged, not smooth metal, but cobbled together. "I could almost swear it's stucco." "I was going to say concrete," Cord said.
"Think gravel," suggested Saman.
"Okay," Cord said. "Gravel has some give to it where concrete doesn't, but how's it held together?" "There are a lot of little rocks floating around up there," I said. "In a way, gravel's the most plentiful solid thing you can obtain in space." "Yeah, but that doesn't answer your question," I admitted. "Who knows? Maybe they have woven some kind of mesh to hold them in place." "Erosion control," Cord said, nodding. "What?" "You see it on the banks of rivers when they're trying to stop erosion. They'll throw a bunch of rocks into a cube of wire mesh, then stack the cubes and wire them together.
It's a good analogy, I said. You need erosion control in space, too.
How do you figure?
Micrometeoroids and cosmic rays are always coming in from all directions.
If you can surround your ship with a shell of cheap material, aka gravel, you've cut down quite a bit on the problem.
Hey, wait a sec, she said. This one looks different.
She was pointing to one face that had a circle inscribed in it. We hadn't noticed it at first because it was around to one side, foreshortened, harder to make out. The circle was clearly made of different stuff. I had the feeling it was hard, smooth, and stiff.
Not only that, I pointed out, but she'd caught it too. No shocks around this one.
The three edges outlining this face were sharp and simple.
I've got it, I said. That one is the pusher plate.
The what?